Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Y'all tell the people them, no? Uh-huh.
Welcome to God in the Midst Christian Fellowship Ministry. Our host is Apostle Barbara Kizzy. Thank you for joining us today. Our lines will be open so you can call 516-418-5699 with your comments, questions, personal prophecy, or prayer requests. Again, our number is 516-418-5699. And God bless to everyone who called in and everyone in the chat room. God in the Midst, otherwise known as GITM or Get'em Radio, is an apostolic ministry whose charge is to help encourage, edify, and equip the people of God who are called to home churches, small churches, our parachurch ministries. For those of you who are joined us for the first time, home churches, small churches, and parachurch ministries may be small in number, but we know when we are faithful with a few things, the Lord make us ruler over much. We're featuring home, small, and parachurch ministries by interviewing them as well as presenting special, encouraging, and educational things monthly. We hope that as you hear these broadcasts, the Lord will confirm what he has placed on your heart. It may encourage you to step out boldly. It may even catapult you to the next dimension in the Lord and ministry.
Y'all tell the people that, no?
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, the Lord our God in the midst. He is mighty. He is almighty. Amen. And we are so excited about him being here today with us. Amen. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word that says that if two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And we thank you, Lord God, for being in the midst tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, that history is being made today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just ask you to just reveal and make known all that you want to reveal and make known today, Lord God, for your glory, your honor, and your praise, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. You have done so many wonderful things. You're doing so many wonderful things now, and we know that many wonderful things are going to be revealed in the future. So we bless you, Lord God. We speak, we pray over our speaker for tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for strengthening her with might in the inner man by your Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And if she needs to take a little nap during the program, she can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for our co-host, Pastor Catherine, tonight, and all of the co-hosts that we're going to volunteer them to help us to co-host tonight. All of Pastor Bob's children that come on tonight will also be a part of it. Hallelujah. So we just thank you, Lord, that we'll just flow together as a united one by your Spirit. And, oh, and Lord God, we lift up everyone who's on the line and then those who will be on in the future. And listen, Lord God, touch each and every person. Go into each and every person's household, Lord God. And whatever's wrong, we ask you to make it right. Whatever's right, we ask you to take it, set it apart, and dedicate it for your use and for your glory. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, we are here. First of all, I'm just so excited to get into this tonight. I'm going to slow down. Get 'em Radio has never done a Black History Month program in our almost 10 years here. And the Lord just laid on our heart to do a Christian Black History Month. Amen. Just centered around what he has done through us as a people. And the first thought about was Pastor Mom. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Mom is history, is living history. Amen. Because she is. This is going to be the year of her 90th birthday, Lord willing, and we give God praise. Hallelujah. And so let me say a little bit about her, and we're just so excited to have her here tonight. Had her take a nice nap, but we said if she needs to take a nap during this, it's all right. Amen. So a little bit about Pastor Mom. Pastor Mom was born premature, and she was born during the world calls the Great Depression. And this doctor, now her family knew different, but the doctor that helped with her birth, because I believe her grandmother was the midwife, but anyway, the doctor said that he didn't expect her to live. In fact, when he saw her a couple of years later, he said, "That thing lives?" That's the way he said about her. Now, okay? All these years later, hallelujah, 89 and a half years later, she's still alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And not only is she still alive, she has 7 children. 1 was an usher, and 6 are licensed ordained ministers. God has something for her to do. Glory to God. The one that was the usher, my sister Martha, went home to be with the Lord, and we figured she's the usher, so she had to get there first so she could usher us in when our time came. Hallelujah. So 6 ministers, amen, and 30 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and 20 great-great-grandchildren.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God has something for Pastor Mom. Amen. As we get ready to talk to her, first we'll say something to Pastor Catherine. Welcome our co-host, Pastor Catherine. And out of the 7 children, Pastor Catherine is 1 of 7.
Well, praise the Lord. And it's an honor to be on here tonight. And I just wanted to mention that I am right behind my mother because my mother is only 16 years older than me. So I can really kind of help her with some of the things that she has gone through with. So I pray that each one of you will enjoy the history that we have for tonight.
Amen. And thank you, Pastor Catherine. And we're looking at this, you know, we're doing it as a Get 'Em Radio broadcast, but we're also doing this as kind of a history of our family, a snapshot, because we can't tell it all now. We can't tell it all. But this will be a part of, you know, a snapshot of our history.
And not only our history, Apostle, I think this would be beneficial to some of the rest of us, maybe some of us that had families in Mississippi, some things that we might have gone through, because some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight are some things that many of the blacks had to also go through with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Amen. And because it was during the Depression as well, hallelujah. And some of you may not know what the Great Depression was, but first we're going to say hi to Pastor Mom.
Hi, Pastor Mom.
Hi.
We're so glad to have you with us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. And what you say earlier, you glad you're here too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, a little bit about the Depression, because Pastor Mom was born in 1932, and the Great Depression started in the 1930s. And in case you don't know what that is, it was an economic collapse. And it was really in a staggering dimensions where the unemployment was really bad. Before the Depression, around in 1929, 3 million people were out of a job. By 1930, 4 million people were out of a job. 1931 and 32, 8 million people were out. And in 1932, the year that Pastor Mom was born, 12.5 million people were out of a job. And probably if we look at the numbers during the pandemic, it was some of those numbers. It might have been even more than that now. But also we recognize that back then it was an agricultural society. It wasn't a technical society, and we're going to kind of not get ahead of ourselves, but talk about how Pastor Mom and her family left the agricultural family. We call it the Mississippi Exodus. Amen. So that's going to be probably one of the last things that we're going to talk about today. But, you know, during all that time, when there was all of that unemployment and, you know, people barely had food to eat. They were buying used bread. You know, some people had to put cardboard in their shoes. And it was a lot of things that were going on. Thank you, Pastor Catherine, at that time. So let's start with Pastor Mom, and let's talk about her family. Now, Pastor Mom lived in Rich, Mississippi, and it was her mother, her father, and her grandmother lived with them. You know, and so back in those days, there were multi-generational or generations that lived together in a house, and you can imagine that they needed to do that because of what was going on with the Great Depression at that time. Come on.
Yes.
Okay, so you guys were in the house. How did the family earn money?
My dad was
A sharecropper?
A sharecropper.
Amen. Amen. And one of my, oh, I'm going to open the line for my sister. Okay, I got Pastor Price, you're on the line. I'm opening up your line. Pastor Herbert, I see you. Opening up your line. Put yourself on mute if you're not saying anything, but you are free to jump into the conversation, okay, along with myself and Pastor Catherine. So you guys are free to jump in. And I'm trying to see if any others are here. Okay, so now sharecropping, you might not know what sharecropping is. Pastor Catherine? No? Okay. Well, sharecropping is back in Mississippi where the Caucasian, usually a Caucasian family or man, owned some property. So the black person lived on their property and worked their land for part of the money from the crop. And from what I understand, this is my sister Mary's recollection, was that my grandfather earned $70 a month as a sharecropper. And the crop that he, you know, had to plow the field for and also chop the cotton and pick the cotton, and I'll tell you what that is in a second, that he earned $70 a month. Probably nice money back then, in a way. But I'm sure the person who owned the land got quite a bit more than that. So he was a sharecropper. And my aunt Estelle helped him out in the field when he went out to plow the field.
Don't forget your big grandma.
Oh, don't forget my grandmother, a big mama?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now I'll do it from my point of view. My grandmother, who is Pastor Mom's mother, we called her Little Mama. We really called her Lil Mom, but Little Mama. And then her mother was Big Mama, okay? And so she helped with to plow the field, too?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she was out there helping plow the field, and it was a cotton field, so they were chopping cotton and picking cotton. And I had to ask, what's the difference between chopping cotton and picking cotton? Now, I know you can say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chopping cotton.
Okay, chopping cotton was when the cotton was first beginning to grow in the ground. And all of the cotton would kind of be bunched up together there. And what chopping cotton meant was that you would go down each row and you would have to thin the cotton out. And also, as you're thinning the cotton out, you would have to chop. You thin the cotton out with a hoe. And then you have to all thin the cotton out and also get the grass from around it. Because once the cotton grows up, it could not be too close together because the limb were going to go out far apart on each limb. And so you had to kind of thin it out, and that's what we had to do. And once you thin it out, then the next time you would go around to chop it, then you would just be chopping the grass from around. We had to do that all summer long.
Okay. Was it grass or grass and weeds, or is it mostly grass?
Grass and weeds.
Oh, okay.
And then the picking cotton was after the cotton had matured, and it would take from the cotton would start growing like in probably around April.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would stop chopping the cotton, I guess, around I'm trying to remember now. So I guess around August. You start chopping around August. And then come September, it will be fully mature. And then that's when you have to go out and pick the cotton in September.
Amen. You were saying sometime the cotton was above the head.
Oh, yeah.
Was that because you were a child or was above an adult head too?
No, just probably because I was a child.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that was what was done. Now, when it came to picking cotton, I remember, Mom, you were saying that you were okay at picking cotton, but some people were doing like 100 pounds. 200 pounds of cotton, and the most you did, I'm trying to recollect, the most you did was like about 100 or something. Mom? You remember the most cotton that you had picked?
Yeah.
Like around 100.
Yeah. I used it to pay kids.
Okay. All right. So you weren't out there a whole lot. You were taking care of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, while they were out there picking cotton. That was a good job.
That was a great job.
Uh-huh. Amen.
We didn't, by the time I came along, we didn't have there weren't a lot of children. So sometimes if there was a baby in the family, they would just put it on the back of the sack because you would have to put a sack around. The shoulder part would be around your neck, and you can just lay your baby on the sack. And that's what many people did.
And the baby would be on the ground or on the sack.
On the ground.
On the ground. Yes. And then they would pull a baby like that.
Yes, but they would wait till they got enough cotton in the sack before they put the baby on.
Oh, okay. So the baby would be sitting on the cotton.
Laying on the cotton.
Okay. That sounds like quite a picture right there. Amen. Okay. So so we're talking about what the family did to make money. Now, my grandfather was the sharecropper, and it looked like the family helped. They all worked together. And then my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who was Mom's grandmother, we call her Big Mama, even though she was a little woman. But anyway, that confused me so much when I was a child because Little Mama was big and Big Mama was little, and I couldn't get that for a long time. And I finally did get it when they said, well, Big Mama is older. And I said, oh, okay. So anyway, so Big Mama was a midwife. And what we understand, she was a midwife for Pastor Mom's children, I think until me. And I'm 5 of 7, right, Pastor Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Pastor Price, she was a midwife for her.
Mm-hmm.
Was Big Mama Pastor Price's midwife? Or no, start with Pastor Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Was she the midwife for Pastor Cat?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, okay. Amen. And then for Martha.
Mother's favorite, my own.
Okay.
Was Big Mama the midwife for Martha?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then for Pastor Price?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Pastor Herbert?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the rest of us. Pastor Mark and Minister Mary. Amen. So now she was the midwife, and she was something else. We'll come back to her later. She was quite a Proverbs 31 woman. And what Pastor Mom said was she always had money. She kept her money in something that was in in her bra. She kept that money close to her. Amen. And I think she had enough money to, I don't know if she had enough money to buy the house when they moved. We'll talk about that Exodus a little bit later. But, yeah, from what I understand, she had quite a bit of money in her bra. So let's talk about the, and also speaking of how they made money back then, my grandmother, little mama, she did hair.
Right.
And so she did hair for, you remember how much it cost for the ladies to get their hair done? Amen. She remembers. Amen. 25 cents. Can you imagine having your hair done for 25 cents?
Wow.
So the ladies would get their hair done like on a Friday night or something like that, and then Saturday they'd be back again to get it done. There was not any perms, and Madam C.J. Walker probably hadn't done anything yet. So that's how they would make money. And Pastor Mom was saying she had a box or something with a bunch of quarters in it from doing all these ladies' hair. So she had a little hustle on. Amen. Okay, so we want to talk about some things that just miscellaneous kind of things around the house. And the way that they went to the bathroom back then, they did not have indoor plumbing, okay? And then pretty much no electricity as well. So because there was no indoor plumbing, they had what is called an outhouse. Some of you may know what that is. I can remember as a child going to an outhouse, and it was not a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. Not for me. I went with my grandmother on my father's side. She still had an outhouse. And, man, it was those great big fat green flies in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. But we always, in St. Louis or East St. Louis, we always had, indoor plumbing. And so, but back then, they had an outhouse. So the outhouse was used in the daytime to use the restroom. But at night they had something called a slop jar. A slop jar. And the slang was slop jar.
Yeah.
Or that's, how it's sounds. But you want to say what a slop jar is?
It would be like a bedside
pot today. Commode,
But
it was just a big pot with a top on it.
A top on it that you could sit on. It had the round top on it, like you could sit on it. And it was only used at nighttime because you would use the restroom. You would use the slop jar at night, but you would use the
outhouse
during the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you imagine? And that has been within the past 100 years that has happened. I can't even conceive of it now. You go to the bathroom now, you flush the toilet. So this is history. And here's the big part. No toilet paper. There was no toilet paper. So what did they use for toilet paper?
Newspaper. Magazine.
Newspaper, magazine. The Sears.
Sears catalog.
So they used magazines or newspapers. And what they would do is tear a piece off and rub it together between their hands to soften the paper so that they would not have a paper cut on their behind. Now, I've never done that. I've never had to do that. You have? And it worked. All right now. All right. And then we were talking about also just some miscellaneous things about how they took a bath, because there was no indoor plumbing. And, you know, you kind of see this on the Westerns and how they would take a bath. They'd have a something that looked like a little bathtub, and somebody would bring the water in and pails and stuff like that. So, and they basically took a bath once a week. Okay? Well, no showers now. Forget about a shower. No showers. And taking a bath once a week, and any other days if you wanted to wash.
And I think that was because you didn't have any running water.
Right, right.
Yeah,
you had to get buckets.
Yeah, you had to get buckets and go outside and bring it in. And so the only time that we would really kind of have off would be on the weekend, because, I mean, you were working like from six in the morning to six in the evening a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really didn't have time to just, you know, to do anything else to kind of rest and get ready for the next day.
Yeah, so it's really from sun up to sundown that you all were working, picking, shopping, or picking cotton. Wow. Amen. All right. So
you would have a face painting that you would kind of wash up each day.
Right.
I mean,
you wasn't just stinky.
Right.
Okay.
There were some people that was stinky.
Okay. They get up and go. Okay. Amen. Okay. So we're going to put some things out here and just talk about a few things. We're going to talk about food a little bit, since we're still talking about the family, and then we'll talk about church some as well. Amen. And like I said, Pastor Price and Pastor Herbert, y'all could jump in at any time. Okay. And Minister Mary, I see you. I'm going to open up your line. You can mute yourself if you don't want to say anything. But, you know, while we're talking, I'm enlisting my siblings as additional co-hosts if we need anything. Okay, if you guys want to say anything, you have the liberty to say something. Okay, so then we were thinking about food and talking to Pastor Mom about, so you all didn't have a refrigerator. What did you have?
You had a stove. Yeah, a stove.
And the ice box.
Mm-hmm.
So the stove and the ice box. We kind of talked to her before this and took some notes. Okay.
And don't forget about the wash.
How you wash clothes? Is that what you're talking about, or the slop jar?
No, wash clothes.
Okay. How did you wash clothes in a big, that metal, the round metal thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so you wash clothes by hand and then hang them up?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And your white clothes, you would boil them in a big pot.
Okay. So no bleach?
Uh-uh.
No bleach.
Just boil the white clothes.
Boil the white clothes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
You would have a scrub board. You know, there was a board that you had to scrub. The rest of them on a scrub board.
Okay. The scrub board that people start using as musical instruments.
Right.
Right? Okay. So the scrub board. And so there was no bleach, no Clorox. So you boiled the white clothes. Now, where did the clothes come from? Did y'all make clothes, or you bought clothes out of the catalog or whatever?
Well, there were people that did make clothes for you. But most of the time we bought clothes out of the catalog.
Okay.
And then sometimes, you know, we would go into town and buy clothes there too.
Oh, okay.
Because we had good work. I mean, was it Tempest Silk?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking. Woolworth.
Woolworth. We had that.
Wool, W-O-O-L, Woolworth. Yeah. Anybody remember Woolworth? I do. So, okay. Okay, so we were talking about food. So the way that they did with their food was they had an ice box because there was no electricity. So they had a ice box, and it was a box that they would buy ice periodically, a big hunk of ice, and put it in this box, and then that would keep things cool for a while. They also had a little room. Some people had the room inside their house and some was outside, but they would cure ham in that room. I don't know if it was a smoke house or whatever, but they would cure the ham in those places. And then Pastor Mom was telling us about the kind of food, besides the regular food that we know, like beef and pork and chicken, they also ate rabbit.
Yeah, rabbit and pig and
squirrels
and stuff like that.
And possum.
Wow.
Yeah. And what you say about rabbit, squirrel, and possum? Did you like them?
I didn't like them, but I did just go with them.
You did eat it, it's all you had
mm-hmm.
for a while. Okay. But rabbits, squirrels, and possums. And the way that they made the possums, and that's like icky. Possum is so ugly. But anyway, they would put The juice was good from the possum.
Uh-huh. Especially when you put sweet potatoes on.
Okay. Y'all remember that. If you have to eat a possum, put some sweet potatoes around it, okay? Put it in your air fryer. Your pressure cooker, right? No, but possums. Okay. All right. We pray we never have to go back there. Another thing was that Pastor Mom, she used to be the one that had to churn the butter to make butter for the family. So she'd be churning the butter, right, Pastor Mom?
Yeah, you put the butter in the butter and churn the milk and butter.
You put the milk in,
uh-huh.
And then you churn it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep churning. And what you was telling us, you fell asleep?
Mm-hmm, fell asleep. Mama, wake up and do that. Did you want?
Did she tell you to wake up?
Turning means that you have a stick that you had to push up and down so the butter could come to the top.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can recall seeing that, you know, on TV, on old movies or something like that, but I've never seen it, you know, for real. And one of the things that they used to eat, and every now and then, Pastor Mom really wants this, and that was cornbread and buttermilk, right?
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, every now and then she gets a taste for cornbread and buttermilk. And the way that she makes it, eats it, you know, you make the cornbread, and then crumble up the cornbread. It's almost like cereal in a way. So you crumble up the cornbread, put a bunch of buttermilk with it, and then put sugar on it and eat it. So it was kind of like maybe that was the first cereal. Okay. And Pastor Mom still likes cornflakes. That's what she has once a week is some cornflakes. So now,
my great-grandmother, like I said, we called her Big Mama, who was the midwife. What she used to do was she canned food. She canned 365 jars of food every year. She was the Proverbs 31 woman. She had the money. She canned the food. So she would can 365 jars of different kind of foods so that they could have make sure that they had something to eat every day of the year. Now, Pastor Mom, you were saying some of the things that she did that were kind of a little odd. Like, I think she canned watermelon and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think you said she put sugar in the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you liked or didn't like it, or was that Lama who didn't like those sweet tomatoes?
Yeah, I love all of that.
Okay. You think of anything else that she can? Okay.
Cucumber.
Oh, cucumber? Okay. In St. Louis, that is so big. Is even today with canning cucumbers.
Pickles.
Yeah, right. And they have pimped out pickles here, they call them. Some people call them that. And hot pickle. There's a lady who lives in this building, and she has a business where she does that. She does the, she makes the pickle. Yeah, and people order them. You know, a lot of them.
They would also do fruit.
Okay.
Peaches.
Uh-huh.
Plums.
Okay. Okay. And so that's what she would do to make sure that they had food. And if something was canned, it didn't have to be refrigerated. So it will last.
Amen.
Okay. So let's go.
I want to pick you up.
Okay. Let's go to church and see what Pastor Mom did in church. So Pastor Mom, I know she's trying to drink something right now. Well, Pastor Mom would go to church, and she was saying that in church, the preacher, there were a couple of different preachers, and maybe one preacher would come, like the second and the fourth Sunday, and another preacher would come the first and the third Sunday, something like that. And so, but they always had Sunday school. Now, when Pastor Mom got saved, were you a teenager? You were saying you was a teenager and you were with one of your friends?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they had something called the mourner's bench. And they would go to the mourner's bench and sit there. And so you and your friend.
We went to church that night.
It was a Sunday night?
It
wasn't Sunday, but it was a night.
Yeah, it was a night.
So you and your friend went to church, and y'all decided to go up to the mourner's bench.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what were you saying after that?
We went to that. We didn't have anything to say to each other that night.
Yeah.
And we went home, went to the end place, each other, and then to the hands of love. And we went on our bed and it said words.
Okay. You know, girls together, they da-da-da-da-da, and they're going to be talking and talking. But this was a serious moment when they went up to the mourner's bench. So, Pastor Catherine, tell us about the mourner's bench. You experienced that as well.
Oh, yeah. That was the longest walk that you could ever take. But it seemed like it was, because I know the church wasn't that big, but once you went up there, because they would ask if you wanted to be saved. Anybody that wanted to be saved, you would just walk down the aisle, or go and sit on the morning bench. And they actually always make sure, are you sure you want to be saved? And you say, yes, I want to be saved. But that was my experience. You would sit there. You would sit there until the preacher maybe preached a little more, and then later on somebody else would come up. Then they might preach a little more, but you would just sit there until everybody came for that night.
Okay.
But it was an exciting time for me to be saved.
Amen.
Well, I was 9 years old.
Amen. Praise God. And then, so Pastor Mom was saying that, you know, her and her friend went up together, and they were so serious about receiving Jesus that all of that little girl chatter went away that night, because they were excited, because they had, their hearts had been touched that night at church. Amen. And then Pastor Mom, after that, she became a Sunday school teacher. Mom?
Huh?
You became a Sunday school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, so she was serious about church, even as a young child. And she was the one that handled the money in the Sunday school. Yes, Pastor Mom?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, and a couple of songs that she recalls them singing back then was Glory, Glory, Hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down. And then she remembers, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Main songs back then. Going on to what they did for entertainment. Back then, there was not a TV. Can you imagine? Not much less internet. But not a TV back then. And so, but there was radio. And so, Pastor Catherine, you were telling us about the radio, and I'll read this about Mr. Wright when you say about what happened on the radio.
Okay. Well, most of the time on the radio, we would listen to ball games and maybe some other sports, but mainly the baseball games would come on, and then you would mostly hear country music. But they dedicated one night for black, and that was WROX. And I always thought it was out of Mississippi, but I think he was reading college.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the DJ was Early Rice,
Mm-hmm.
And he would come on, folks, and everybody would always make sure they would sit around the radio for early light to come on for 1 hour. And he would play he would start off with a Christian song, but mostly he would play the blues, B.B. King,
mm-hmm.
and Wolf, Howlin' Wolf. I can't remember some of the others. But he would play that for an hour, and that would be our entertainment on Thursday night.
Okay, on Thursday night. Amen. So now he's a historical figure, Mr. Early Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. And and he was the first black disc jockey in Mississippi. He was also called, he had a couple of names. One of his names was Soul Man, and the other name was Brother Wright. No, a Brother Early. I think that's what they called him. And so in 1945, he went to Clarksdale, the WROX, that Pastor Kat was talking about, a white-owned station. And as the manager of a gospel group called the Four Star Quartet, 15-minute Sunday morning program, the station's manager, Preston Buck Hinman, was impressed with Wright's charisma and offered him a regular show as WROX's first black announcer in 1947. Now, that was a ways back. Before accepting the job, Wright consulted his preacher to make sure there wasn't anything sinful about playing blues music. So he wanted to be decent and in order. Amen. So Wright developed a dual on-air person for his four-hour nightly show. So as Soul Man, he played blues music. Then he switched to gospel music and became Brother Early. Okay? And he played Turner, or Ike Turner, on some of his gigs, or he played Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley also appeared on Wright's show early in his career. So he had a vision, that Early Wright. Amen. So that's what they did. You know, back then, they would listen to the radio. No TV, can you imagine? No TV, no internet. Hallelujah. So they were listening to the radio back then.
They also had a few soap operas on there, too.
Oh, yeah, soap operas.
You would listen to the stories and pick it up each day.
Yep, they started on there with the soap operas. And now as we, let's see, okay. As we're getting ready to close, we want to just share with you a story about what happened to our family, because this is kind of a civil rights kind of thing as well. But what happened, and we call it the Mississippi Exodus to St. Louis. As I said, we said earlier that my grandfather was a sharecropper. And the family had an idea to leave and stop doing that for $70 a month and all of the hard work that they were doing. So they had an idea, and they couldn't just tell the guy that they were working for, we're going to St. Louis, see ya. They couldn't do that. They used wisdom to be able to leave. And so they had a plan to get out of Mississippi and move up north. And what had happened was my great-grandfather and my oldest aunt had gone to St. Louis. I think my great-grand father went first. And then from what we're hearing, or the accounts that we're hearing, and y'all jump in at any time, siblings, okay? So my oldest aunt, Aunt Estelle, went to St. Louis. And so then they had the best crop that year. And so I guess the family got more money than they usually would get. So there were a bunch of grandchildren that were there. And the smallest children of my grandmother and grandfather. So they bought all the kids coats. And the plan was that my grandmother, little mama, would take all of the little children, and from what I understand, it was about seven or eight of them, and they all had new coats. They all got train tickets to go from Mississippi to St. Louis. And they left earlier than my grandmother, than my grandfather and my mom went. And then there was another one of their children that is my Aunt Leah. She was telling me that she stayed there too. And so so before the guy who was over the sharecropper field knew that they were planning on leaving, most of the household was gone. And then Pastor Mom was saying, when they started to get wind that they were moving, that her family was moving, she went to try to buy an axe. And what they say to you, Pastor Mom, when you tried to buy that axe? Yeah, when you tried to buy the axe, they said, what do you need an axe for? You're going to St. Louis.
Oh, the man did not let them have that.
Okay, they wouldn't even let you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was kind of, you know, the civil rights kind of thing. They felt like they had a right to try to hold them back so that they wouldn't go. And then after they got everything packed up, they had a mover to come to move them. And the guy who owned the land had my grandfather and the mover arrested to try to keep them from moving away. And he said that my grandfather had taken his gears. And I don't know what a gear is, but I think that was what they used to plow the fields with. And so they ended up taking him to jail. You want to say anything, Pastor Mom?
No, I don't remember that one, so maybe.
Oh, okay, she don't remember, but she told us that they went before the judge, and the judge says, this mover has his license. I'm waiting on you to remember. I know it's late. Has his license, and he could put you in jail for bringing him here, for having him arrested. And so because they got a legitimate mover who had a license, then they could move out. And so then they went on and moved. So from my understanding, my grandfather and the mover were in the van together with all of their furniture and everything. And then Big Mama and Pastor Mom and her little sister, my Aunt Leah, they all got on the train and went. Now, my Aunt Leah said this. She said they made some fried chicken. And they left early in the morning, and they put the chicken in a shoebox. And she said that that when they walked on the train, everybody could smell that chicken and was trying to look and see where it came from. So anyway, they ended up moving to St. Louis, and from some of the accounts that we've heard,
my grandfather, the first job that he got, and he worked that job a long time. He worked at a place called Dixie Feed Mill, and that was in East St. Louis. And he went from $70 a month to $900 a month. That was big, big, big money back then. So that is the history. Amen. Like I said, we didn't tell it all. We didn't have time to tell it all. And we're at about 10 o'clock now. And so, Pastor, we're going to open up the line. I'll let the siblings say something first. But if anybody wants to make any comments, you have any questions for Pastor Mom, any of us, you have any comments, pressure number one key. If your family went through something like that, amen, pressure number one key and let us know what had happened. Amen. I'll start with the siblings. Pastor Price, did you want to say anything? Your line is open. Then we'll go to Pastor Herbert. Then we'll Minister Mann.
Look at all the photos
there. Oh. Pastor Price.
Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. This is such a blessing that you all are doing this tonight. And, of course, we heard the stories and over the years and the history, and we thank God that you got it, as they say, spot on. And we thank God. I was just really glad to hear Pastor Catherine's input in it along with Mom's. And I just thank God. I thank God for tonight. And I thank God for the moving, you know, of his, even to, of the moving of his spirit on how God helped to deliver our family from down in the South and bring them into that Midwest area. So I thank God for that. Thank God for tonight. And Mom, you did, I thank God you sound still alert, and I thank God for sharing that story. And now it's on the recording so that we can even go back and share with our children and families of how the Exodus from down in the South. So I thank God. God bless you all, and I love you all, and God bless.
Amen. And thank you also for giving us the count of the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and the great-great-grandchildren. Thank you for that.
Glory to God. Amen. You're welcome. God bless you all.
Okay. I'm gonna leave your line open, so just mute yourself. Pastor Herbert, did you want to say anything?
To God be the glory for the great things that he has done, and to give us times like this. I want to express appreciation for Apostle Kizzy and this venue. It's always wonderful to be here. This is where a lot of our beginning, this is a lot of the Point history is going through getting. As Helen was, Pastor Price was one that got everybody started, and she ran the forefront. Apostle Kizzy has ran the forefront and was the first one to get this online ministry, that is, the telephone line. And that is something that I'm really glad about. But, oh, before any of them could come up and wanting to preach the word, before any of them could want to start an online ministry, there was Will It Be Teeny McCoy? Or should I say Mark?
Yeah, man. You talking
That's
about
right.
you.
It was Mark McCoy. I'm just amazed by the history and all the things we were sitting here talking earlier about some of the things that that we look at and looking at doing some comparisons between present generation and our generation, and even as we look back, we were watching what was it, Ozzy and Harriet? That's what it was. Yeah, I said I don't remember Ricky. I said I don't remember Ricky being that little. You know, it looked like they were teenagers, and then it shot across the screen that it started in 1951. I said, well, dang, I wasn't even born then. But I remember, I can remember from little mom, well, to next door to little mom at 1854 Gady, I remember being there and watching Ozzie and Harriet. I remember watching Leave It to Beaver and, mm-hmm. and all of that. We had a TV.
yeah.
Not everybody had TVs back then. You know, you talk about being over at our father's mother's house with the
mm-hmm,
outhouse.
The out. Yeah.
And now you can't forget the train. The train used to come through with the ice. The ice man would jump off the train, bring it down the hill to my grandmother's house.
Okay.
And that was from the front. And on the back side was a way station. And you could go back there to that train, that part of the train station, and you could get you some pineapple soda. You know, we used to love to go over there. We had to use the outhouse over there, of course, and then we had to take a bath over there outside, you know. They always want the girls to go first, because not only did you didn't take a bath one day, but you had to use the same water.
Right.
And me being the boy, they make me wait to last. You know, but that was just, you know, like I said, that was just the way it went. But after all that everybody went through back in those days, I can remember so many things. And it was so many things that were so wonderful and so simple back then. At least I thought it was simple. But now,
yeah.
I guess that I'm a little bit older now. I find out that a lot of things are complicated, but God has it all in his hands. And if you look at the complications, all he's doing is preparing everything. And he has prepared such a family as this for such a time as this. Because as I look at the generations that's coming, I come up to St. Louis, I can't number. I don't know them people.
So many, huh?
Yeah, all these great
yeah.
grandchildren. And she ain't the only one that's got children and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren. She's not the only
right.
one. Some of her sisters got the same thing rolling up there, you know.
Yes.
And her niece, Pat, oh, my God. Pat probably got great-great-great-great-great grandchildren because Walter just had a child, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Little
Walter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think little Walter had a child here. So I mean, it just goes on and on. But you know, God has something special in our family, and I'm glad I'm part of the family and everything about it. And looking forward to these times that's coming because He made us for this time. He made us to be able to share the word. With others, got us all tied together right now, you know, to be able to glorify His name. So, you know, I say a family that praises together stays together. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So you know, so here we are. So we, you know, we got all this rich history behind us, and yeah, this history is black, but it's also a spiritual history. Now here that we're in 2022, you know, God is going to help us to do what He wants us to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Herbert. Did you? Mm-hmm. I hear Lady Diane in the background with some amens. Did you want to say anything, Lady Diane? Didn't I hear her?
Yes, ma'am. I had to get up.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, good evening. I thank God I was able to get up.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to say, you know, as we celebrate Mama, I mean, she has been such an inspiration. She tried to teach me how to do peach cobbler, the crust, I could never get it. Everybody else got it, but I could never get it.
Lady Diane, just buy it. Okay? That's what she does
just
now.
Just buy it.
Go to the store.
So just buy it, huh? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
That was a long time ago, so thank you. I'll just buy it. I thank you for putting this together. This is really awesome. It's really touching. And I love you guys.
Love you too. Thank you. Amen. All right then. Okay, I'm going to leave you guys line open for some reason. I don't know, but you can go ahead and mute your line. Okay, Pastor Mary. Minister Mary, you want to say anything?
Hey, everyone. Yes, I do. I would like to say some things. I just want to piggyback on some things that that Pastor Herbert said about God having his hand on the family, even throughout that time. When I look at my mom, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and my aunts and uncles that were that moved from Mississippi to the St. Louis area, it's really a phenomenal thing. Most of the times when we read in history books, things like that, they'll say, you know, that folks from the South migrated to the North because of it was the age of industry. But they don't really tell the hardships that occurred during that time for those families. For my grandfather to cut ties with a sharecropper was a huge, huge event. God had his hand upon our family because it could have went way worse than what actually occurred. Even though there was trouble with them having to go to jail, and of course the word says that the Lord will deliver us out of all of our troubles, right? Even though that they went to jail, it could have gone way worse than that. It was so secretive for them to keep that because they did not want the sharecropper to know, because it could have ended in a whole different way. I have since told that story to other people here in Memphis, and they have told me stories that has happened to their families too, where they lived in Mississippi. Their grandparents or great-grandparents were raised in Mississippi, and then they migrated to Chicago, or they migrated to St. Louis, or they migrated to Michigan, or to some state up north, so that their families could work in an industrial type of job to better their family. Now, one of the things I want to say too, in addition to mom them moving from Mississippi north to St. Louis, that in itself wasn't just a bed of roses either. Because once they got here, there were still things that they had to deal with. There were things they had to deal with in the East St. Louis area, where East St. Louis was at that time predominantly white. And then those folks began to move out, or what they term as white flight. They began to move out. And then mom them was able to our grandparents were able to buy houses and things like that. And then our grandfather had to work in an industrial job that it wasn't a pleasant job. It was a real industrial job. So even though he went from sharecropping, and even though he never complained about working in that industrial job, it was still challenging for him. It was still challenging. So I want to talk about mom for just a moment, too.
Okay.
To me, my mother, and I know it's y'all mama, too, but to me, my mother has always been an amazing person. For her to move from the South to the North with a minimal education, an eighth grade education, and then not only that, she continued on with her education. To me, that was God leading her steps. And she was trusting God even in those times and had hope that her life would be better, that God could better her life. And not only could God better her life, but better her children and her grandchildren and all of her descendants to come. And I believe that through her, God paved the way for all of us to be better because of her, because of my grandmother and my grandfather, my great-grandmother, because of all of their prayers and all of their hopes in the Lord. I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm going to stop.
Take your time. Take your time.
Now, all of my brothers and sisters just talked about outhouses and the train and the icebox. Well, y'all, I was the modern baby. I didn't see any of that. I had a TV. I had a phone. I had a great big bathroom when I was growing up. So I didn't see any of that by the time I got to, you know, by the time I came into the family. So I want to tell Mom, thank you, Mama. Because I didn't see any of those things like that. So I really appreciate my mom and my dad. And Mama, I love you. And I have always just admired you and just really thought of you as my hero for all that you have done in your life, raising all of us, going to school, getting your college degree at 50 years old, starting your career and thriving at your career, and then going into retirement, and still even in retirement, I still use my mother as an example that even, because I'm close to retirement now, and even when I saw her go through retirement, just to see how she thrived in retirement. And she's always been just a great role model for me. And I really do love you, Mama. All right. I'm done. Love y'all.
Amen. Love you, too. Hallelujah. So that was good, Minister Mary. That was really good. That was a good kind of closing what Mom has done, even to mention that, she did go back to school. And she got a GED, and then she got a college education. She got a bachelor's degree at the age of 50 with 7 children. Hallelujah. And grandchildren around. Amen. Amen. And then even now, at this tender age where she is right now, she is still the pastor of the East St. Louis Christian Center Church. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I thought I saw somebody else with their number one key press besides you, Reverend Treva. I remember who it was. It was Minister Carey. So I'm going to open a line for Reverend Treva. She had her number one key press first. And then, Carrie, I'll open up your line. Anybody else, go ahead and press your number one key. Amen. Hallelujah.
And just, you know, give a few comments if you like. Okay. Reverend Teresa.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You know, I wasn't going to say anything tonight. I was just going to listen. This has been a long day, and I've been on about how many programs and Bible studies. But you guys,
right.
You guys went right up my alley. I love history, especially family history and Black history. And, you know, as you were talking, I thank you for sharing. You know, that really parallels. I'm from Georgia, but my great-grandfather had a farm. And I remember the outhouse, and I remember the big tub they used to take a bath. I didn't like the outhouse. I think I went there once or twice.
Right.
Anyway, and some of the things you said, I can remember seeing some of that, and I knew right away what you were talking about, because my mother was not, she may have been about, she was born at 35, so she was born just a little bit, she was just a couple of years younger than your mom. She would have been 87 this year. But anyway, I just thank you for sharing, you know, and what you were saying was so true. Now, my great-grandfather, he was a big guy around there. I don't know. They had help. Even though they rented the house, they weren't sharecroppers. He was allowed to become a full-fledged farmer. So he never left Georgia. And then my great-grandmother, she had a cousin. They owned it's a big bus company called Bluebird Bus Company. I know you probably heard they make the school buses. Her white cousins owned that. And they sold it a few years ago. So they had some help back then, but there were parallels because they helped people get out of Georgia. I remember my great-uncle telling me, my great-grandfather and my great-uncle were on the grand jury. This was in the 30s.
Wow.
And my great-grandfather sat on the school. Yeah, even though they were farmers, and they didn't really own, they didn't own the house, but they were allowed to become farmers. And they had to get a family out because the man went to the bank. One of their friends or somebody they knew went to the bank, and he was going to get $50 out. And the bank, the teller gave him $500. And he couldn't talk back to them. He was trying to get the money back. But the teller said, man, if I gave you that, you keep it. So they got, they did like your family did. First, they sent the kids and the wife to Chicago. And by the time the police, everybody realized what they had, they wanted to press charges, but it was the teller's fault. Because the man tried to get the money back. They got that man, not only did they get him out of town and his kids, but they tried to extradite him. They couldn't bring him back. They were in Chicago, and they immediately went and bought houses. The $500 was a lot. But I don't know how much they had saved, but that was a way of them getting out of Georgia. And even though my great uncle, he did go to Hamilton, Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati area. He bought land and became a farmer up there. But my great grandfather, he never left the state of Georgia. I mean, he would visit Florida, and he had family in Florida, but he never left that area. But he made something. I don't know. God's hand was with him. And then his father. They had I'm going to tell you this, and then I'll let Minister Carey speak. His father started the Baptist Church. And like you said, Oak Grove Baptist Church, they would have church. The preacher would come every two Sundays a month. Like you said, they call them second preachers. And they would have Sunday school every Sunday. Back then, and the church is still going, but now they have a regular minister. It's not a second minister anymore. But anyway, though, I just loved it. Thank you for sharing it. I'm gonna let Minister Carrie talk. She's in a later time zone. God bless you. I love you. I don't know if Pastor Mom is awake. I love you, Pastor Mom. And I feel like I adopted you as my mother, too. I adopted her family. All right, I love y'all.
Okay.
Good night. God
love
bless you.
Too. We love you. You know we do. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? And if you have pressure number one key, I don't see you. So text me and let me know. Minister Carrie.
Oh, good evening, everyone, to Pastor Mom and Apostle Kizzy and your family. As I was sitting here and as you were sharing your story, I just can recall so much of it, even in my family line, too. I was in Mississippi. We were down by the Gulf area, and my family, with the cotton and all of that, my grandmother mm-hmm. and the cannon and the smokehouse and all of that.
Yeah.
<Even now. laughs> Yes. And I can remember my grandfather, not my grandfather, my great-grandfather, he used to ride a horse and go from different places preaching and come back. And my mom told me about, you know, my dad told me about their father. And then we came, moved. Well, my father and them moved here to East St. Louis. And then I lived there for a while. And then I came and joined. And my dad came and got all of us and brought us here to live together. So I remember that. And we lived in the South End. Even in the South End, I can remember the possums. I mean, all of that, cooking with the sweet potatoes around them. And you know
the possum and the sweet potato. Wow.
And the rabbits, you know, hunting the rabbits over in Cottonville, you know, with a stick and a dog. I can remember even the hogs, you know, when we lived in the South End out there in that area, because we didn't have bathrooms out there either, and we were still taking tub baths. So I'd sit here and I just rejoice listening to the radio because we didn't have a TV. And then later, the little screen TV and all the kids sitting around watching it. And it was just a joy to hear. I know they went through hard times, but, you know, it's just thanking the Lord how he did bring us here, and we would sit around and play and make ice cream and take turns churning the ice cream maker, and, you know, kids playing together. It was just a blessing to hear all of this tonight and reminisce and remember it. So I rejoice with you all, and I just praise God. Thank you for sharing.
Amen, and thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if there's anyone else, you can press your number one key. I'm going to, you know, the Lord leads us to pray the prayer of salvation, and then we'll talk about what's going on our Get 'Em Radio family broadcast. I see you, Sister Joanne. I'm going to open up your line. Welcome, Sister Joanne. Got your mute on?
You hear me now?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Got you.
Okay.
Yes, I
thank God for you, Mom, and I thank God for Pastor Kizzy. I can reflect back when I was growing up and I'm from North Carolina. And
okay.
I remember my mom told me she would work from 10 cents a day from sun up to sundown, 10 cents a day to buy me a can of milk. So I reflect back how we growed up. We was never hungry. I can say that. We was never hungry because we had chicken and cows. We had, you know, we had chicken. I don't remember no cow, but we had pigs and chicken. And we had a, well, you know, we went and collect the egg from the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that outhouse. I didn't like going up in there. First of all, it was too dark and this big hole. No, I didn't like going up in there. So I remember you said the potty. Yeah, they only brought the potty in at night where you can urinate in it. But you never made a bowel movement. And, you know, at nighttime, you went outside. As you say, mm-hmm. the toilet paper, I don't remember no toilet paper. We went in the woods and we got leaves up the trees.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember no newspaper or nothing like that. We got leaves up the trees. Right. I don't remember all that. I remember leaves off the tree.
Wow.
So we going a long way back. So I thank God for your mom to live to see the Great Depression. I remember as we growing up, we used to pick cotton and shake peas and plow twine tobacco. And I remember as a little girl, my mom used to take me in the field, and you said, just remember them sackcloth, put the cotton in?
Yeah.
We had to pick so much cotton a day to make the ends meet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, we little kids stayed home. The older children went in the field to pick, you know, to help the older people out.
Yeah.
So I thank God. I reflect back and look on today, you know, Our young people wouldn't do what our parents would do, wouldn't do what we did back then. To work for 10 cents a day to shut up, huh?
I said, I can't even imagine our young people doing that today.
No, I can't even imagine that.
We did what we had to do.
Right. My aunt was the oldest one, so we had like 17 children in the house. She was the oldest one. She was the oldest one, being the boss in charge of everything. So whatever she said, we did. Okay, so I just want to thank God for mom to live to see the next her great grandchildren, great great grandchildren, and I continue that she live a longevity, a life.
Amen.
That her life will speak to her. Amen. So I love you, Ms. Tizzy. Have a blessed night. Love you, Mom. Okay, and y'all have a blessed night. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
It really touches
too.
My heart. Amen. It really touches me.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Joanne. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right. Okay, I'll still kind of keep my eye on the studio board in case anybody presses their number one key. And if you're going to do it, do it quickly, okay? So first, I want to pray the prayer of salvation. Amen. We don't know who's going to listen to this broadcast in the future. And we want to make sure that, you know, when we go home to be with the Lord, that a lot more people come with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so... John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Amen. So God, he put his love out there. Amen. He is love. Amen. And he wants to love us into the kingdom. And Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you're not sure about your salvation, you know, when we were talking about Pastor Mom's history, they had this mourner's bench. So you had to go and sit on this bench to make sure that you really, really wanted to be saved. Well, that's what they did back then, and I'll just say that worked back then, okay? But all you have to do, we know according to the Word of God, is that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart
And I think that was that's what the mourners bench was for. They want to make sure that people believed in their heart. But you can simply make a decision to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And when you pray it out of your mouth, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. And I'm glad, you know, over time, God lets us know even more. He gives us a revelation. We work with what we worked with about 100 years ago, and now we have a revelation where all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe, make a choice to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So repeat this prayer after me with all your heart, and you'll be saved in just a moment here. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and that God raised you from the dead. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Show me your ways and help me to follow you. And now I know, according to the Bible, that I'm saved, I'm born again, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You prayed that prayer with all your heart. You are saved. You are born again. You are redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So welcome to the family of God. Welcome. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. And today, February the 3rd, 2022, or whenever you say this prayer, is your birthday. Hallelujah. Your spiritual birthday. You are born again. And so we want to just pray over you right now. Lord God, in the name of Tayyadabasha, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, right now. Something just happened in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We just thank you right now that you just touched, hallelujah, you just touched them right now and filled them with your precious Holy Spirit and with power, power to live right, power to do right. In the name of Jesus, power to be right in you, in the name of Jesus, and to be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit and with power and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that somebody's tongue just got released tonight in the name of Jesus. Yeah, that's the Lord. You're not making it up. Go ahead and let it flow. This is your prayer language. Let your prayer language just flow on out. As the Bible says, out of the belly flows rivers of living water. Let those rivers of living water just flow through you. No, you don't understand what you're saying right now, but after a while, the Lord's going to help you to know. But in the meantime, just continue to pray in your prayer language. Hallelujah. Because every time you pray in your prayer language, your inner man, the inner man, the part of you that you cannot see, but it's still there, is getting stronger and stronger every time you pray in your prayer language, every time you pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing tonight. And then even now we want to invite you to just come and be a part of our Get 'Em Radio family of broadcasts. The next time we're together is this Sunday. Excuse me, Sunday. And we come together every Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, the East St. Louis Christian Center Church, where Pastor Mom is our senior pastor, and I am Apostle Barbara Kizzy, and I'm the apostolic pastor. Hallelujah. So join us, and you'll learn more about your Lord and your Savior with all of these broadcasts. Now, on this Sunday is the first Sunday of February. So we, on the first Sunday, we take communion together. So you bring your communion elements, and you just call this number, the same number for that you're on tonight, 516-418-5699. So every first Sunday, we take communion together. You bring your own juice and your crackers, and we eat, we have it together. And then we're going to have tag team preaching. Everyone can share the word of God. Hallelujah. You can bring a scripture and a topic and preach for 5 minutes. You can bring some scripture that have just been on your heart, and you can just read scripture. You can also read out of your devotional. If you read something in your devotional that has blessed you, we want to hear it. Amen. The Lord has told us, yes, we have the word of God, but you do too. And so we're opening up a door for those to bring the word of God. You have 5 minutes to do it on Sunday. Amen. And if you have a song that you would like played, you know, text me and let me know what that song is, or go to YouTube and share that video with me, and I'll have it queued up on Sunday. Amen. You have until tomorrow to do that, until Friday to do that. Praise God. Okay, and so that's on Sunday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. Then on Mondays, we have our Bible teaching, so you can learn more about the Word of God. We have our Bible teaching, and that's with our Dr. Lorraine Navarro. She's out of Ohio. She teaches us how to dig into the Word of God as she digs into the Word of God. And so that's on every Monday, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we call it Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Amen. Hallelujah. Then on Tuesdays, that's our prayer time. And it's praying in tongues. Now, I know somebody's tongue got released tonight because God just showed me. So praise God. So we meet on every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. We have 4 volunteers that pray in tongues for about 15 minutes at a time. And then we have interpretation of tongues. So we've been doing this for almost 2 years now. And who first came on the line, they weren't getting maybe very much of an interpretation, and now they're getting really great interpretation, confirmation interpretation, almost word for word interpretation. Hallelujah! So join us, and then some just come and just sit and just listen, and it's the peace of God will just overflow on you. Amen. Even if you're not speaking in tongues yet, if you just come and listen for a while, something's going to happen, and it's going to be good. Amen. So that's every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. On Wednesdays, the second Wednesday of every month, we have our healing service, and we call it prophetic healing. And so mark your calendar, set your phone alarm. It's this Wednesday coming up, which is Wednesday, February the 9th. And that will be 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern. So 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tell your family, tell your friends, God is still healing. Amen. And so people call in, and they get healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God reveals in advance, and then people end up getting healed. Glory, hallelujah. So this Wednesday, February the 9th, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then next week, on Thursday, we'll be back here on our Thursday edition of God in the Midst, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, and we're still talking about Christian Black history. So next Thursday is going to be music. Hallelujah, music day. We're going to be playing some music by Black composers, and it'll probably be mostly the old-time music. We may have some of the new things as well, but we're going to kind of go back old school and listen to some of the music that maybe we haven't heard for a while. I've been looking for some of the music now, and I ran across some songs that we played, that were played or sang back in the Baptist church when I was 16 years old, and it just blessed me all over again. You know, I Surrender All and some songs like that. And then we'll go way, way back too. So that'll be really good. That's what we're going to be doing on next Thursday. So I'll tell you what, if you know some old-time gospel song that you want to hear next Thursday, text me. You know, go to YouTube, find it, and share that with me. Praise God. And if you do that by early next week, then we'll be able to put that, cue that up and listen to it. Praise God. Amen. So that's what we have here. Glory to God. We're going to get ready to close. I don't see anyone else that has pressed their number one key. Amen. I see you, Minister Rachel. She said, amen, amen, and God bless you all. Praise God. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and close out. Pastor Mom, did you want to say anything?
I just want to say good night and we'll have a good time. Amen.
Amen. She had a good time. She stayed up most of the time. Pastor Catherine, you want to say anything?
Well, I just want to say enjoy tonight and just being able to reminisce on some of the things that have been done in the past, in our past history of this family. And I thank God for you, apostles, that we will have this as a recording for future generations here. And I want to just thank God for Mom. And I thank God for a long life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just praise God for all the things. I love you all. God bless you.
Amen. Now, I was just, thank you, Pastor. I was just thinking about my one of my cousins. He's gone home to be with the Lord. We called him Junior Brown, and how he sat with Lil Mom one day, and I believe he made a video of her. Did an interview. Never knew what happened with that, but I know that was good, and I pray that one day, you know, we'll be able to find that. Amen, because I know that's chock full of good stuff. Amen. So let's close tonight with the Lord's Prayer. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Pastor Mom, when she was younger, she believed in hiding the word in her heart. Amen. And now that she's a wonderful,
I would say officially 89 and a half years young. Praise God. That word is still in her heart. So we praise God for her. Love you all. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And have a blessed rest of the night. Love you.
Yes. Y'all tell the people.